Do you think there was ever a time when Jesus was caught by surprise? You might be surprised at the answer to that. Hello, and welcome to Calling Over Comfort. I'm your host, Francine Ivy. On Calling Over Comfort, you're going to find a place where you will get short but powerful messages that are going to encourage you, they're going to empower you, and they might even challenge you to be all that God created you to be. So without further delay, let's jump in. So have you ever had one of those times when something just took your breath away? I mean, in a good way. Like, I remember the first time that I stepped outside to the Texas sunset. That big sky full of orange and purples and blues stretching across the horizon. It is unbelievable. If you've never seen it, you need to go and see it. Another time was the first time I ever walked up to the Grand Canyon. Seriously, even as I'm saying it, my breath is taken away because I had no idea how big and grand that place was. It is unbelievable. Or the first time that I stood on the coast of Hawaii, watching those emerald green waves, large, making those big like surf tunnels, surfers on top of them as they crashed into the beach. They were amazing. And then, oh, one of my favorites, driving down the Blue Ridge Parkway in North Carolina when the leaves are in full color in the middle of October. It was as if light bulbs were in the trees. I remember thinking, I think I'm going to hyperventilate because my breath was so just, I mean, I just, every corner we rounded, I was like, everywhere. It was unbelievable. But was there ever a time where the creator of the world, where God had his breath taken away, where humankind surprised him, and out of that, he overly blessed them? Yeah. Was there a time when Jesus was on earth where he was surprised with human interaction and he was overblessed to the point where he also was compelled to bless them? Yes. I'm going to tell you of three situations with Jesus really quick and then one with God. And I hope it challenges you to do the same, because ever since I heard these, I thought, let my life take God's breath away. I pray that my faith, my worship, my love for him, my willingness to step out in faith takes his breath away. First, I want to tell you about the centurion soldier. He needed his son healed, and he went to Jesus and he says, please, Rabbi, Lord, he said, heal my son. And he said to him, I'm a man with great power and great honor, and I know that with just a word, I can send a man here or send a man there, and he will go. You have far greater power than me, and I know that just in a word, my son would be healed. Jesus is so taken aback by the faith of this centurion Gentile, and he looks at him, and I want you to realize Jesus only said this to two people, and both of them were Gentiles, and this is one of them. He said, oh, great is your faith. Great is your faith. Not in your faith you're healed. It was, oh, great is your faith, and your son is healed right now. The second time was with a woman in Matthew 15, this is kind of a hard story, but I want you to hear it because I think it's really powerful. This is a kind of faith that I don't know if there have been times in my life that I would have been able to withstand this, but I want you to hear it because I believe in this moment. I took this actually, this story to my husband and said, I need you to explain because Jesus isn't acting like the Jesus that I know. He's so out of character in this story. And as we look through the scripture, we realize that First of all, Jesus knows the heart of everybody who comes up. He's not surprised. He knew the heart of this woman. He knew the faith that was in this woman. And it wasn't to test her faith, because I know that he knew her faith. But I think it was to show the disciples what great faith really looked like. I mean, really great faith. Like, this is seriously great faith. So in Matthew 15, this woman comes to him because her daughter is severely vexed, like sick. And she says, I need my daughter healed. She's begging him. And at first it says that Jesus stays silent. He literally ignores her. But she keeps on asking him. And finally he turns around to her and says, I have not come but for the house of Israel. So literally he's looking at her and saying, I haven't come for you. And she bows down and begins to worship him. And then he says to her, and this is probably where I might have checked out. I'm just going to be honest. I might have checked out. But Jesus looks at her to show those disciples even greater faith. He tests it. He knows what is inside, the powerful faith that is inside this woman. And he says to her, why should I give the bread of the children to the little dogs? I'm offended even just saying it. But this woman doesn't get offended. She says, yes, Lord. Lord? Lord, that's right. Yes, Lord. But even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. Even saying it chokes me up at the powerful faith this woman is holding out for her daughter. And Jesus is compelled, and he says, your daughter is healed. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Again, a Gentile. Oh, woman, great is your faith. He was compelled. Now another time. This time was Jesus actually gave more than they were asking. You see, these four friends were trying to get their friend who was lame and laying on a bed. They were carrying probably on the four corners of the bed, and they were showing up because they heard Jesus was teaching and they can't get to him. The crowd is too thick. And I imagine that they stood there trying to figure out something. And I often wondered why they didn't just wait for the crowd to disperse, but they didn't. No way. They were getting to Jesus. They were getting their friend to Jesus. So they literally climb up on the roof of this house. They rip back the roof of this house. You guys, they probably didn't even know this person. They're ripping off his roof and lowering their friend in front of Jesus. Now, the word says something peculiar in this moment, because it doesn't say that Jesus looked at his faith. Not the one on the mat. It says he saw their faith. He saw the friend's faith. And out of just a love burst, he was compelled to say, your sins are forgiven you. Whoa, that's not what he was asking for. He was asking for healing. So why was Jesus telling him his sins were forgiven him? Later, Jesus asked the Pharisees which would be harder, forgiving his sins or healing him. Which is harder? Well, we know, because healing him would have only taken the spoken word. Forgiving his sins cost Jesus his life. So from just seeing the faith of his four friends, Jesus was compelled to give the greatest gift of all, that his sins would be forgiven him. Wow. Now another time, God the Father, it's in the Old Testament, Solomon is becoming king. So he goes to Solomon and he says, I'll give you anything you need, anything you want, open check, what do you want? I'll give it to you. And Solomon in his youth and his understanding of that something big was about to be handed him. He was about to be king, and he knew he did not have the equipment to be king. He knew he could not do it. And so he looks at God and he says, please give me the wisdom and the discernment to be able to rule well as the king. Give me the wisdom I need to do what you've called me to do. And God is so overwhelmed at that thought that God said, because you haven't asked for long life and wealth, I'm going to give you not only what you asked for, I'm going to make you wiser than any king that has ever lived or will live. And I will give you the wealth and I will give you long life and the honor. That's a love burst. Every time. It's because of great faith and total focus and dependence on him. I prayed as I began to study the times that God was moved by humans. And as I studied that, I realized I want to be one of those humans. I want a love for him, and I want my worship, I want my prayers to so please him that it compels his heart toward me. It's not about what his hands can give me. I want his heart. So I pray that you will pursue God fearlessly too, and that you compel his heart. Let's take his breath away. Hey friend, thanks for stopping by. And it would mean a whole lot if you'd like, share, and subscribe, and drop us a review. It would mean so much to us. Remember, go take action. Be fearless. Own the room, my friend, because God has an awesome call on your life and you are not alone. If you need some help ever, remember that you can always request a strategy call from one of our coaches at consumedstrategycall.com. We would love to hear from you. We would love to collaborate with you, and we would love to hear your story.